Cut them loose. It's looking. It's thinking about it. Let me make sure I'm on the right. Nope. Man, you guys are awesome. You just come get where you're supposed to be and sit down, and you're ready to learn, huh? I'm almost ready to teach. There we go. There it is. Gotta get to important stuff first. That guy on the left, his name is Robert. He's my brother-in-law. That's Cindy's brother. And he is an avid fisherman. He's really good. And he took me fishing when we were in Louisiana. That's a speckled trout he's holding, and that's a redfish that I'm holding. It's pretty cool, huh? Yeah. Y'all wanna know how we caught those things? Watch this. Just like that. A truth slide wasn't supposed to go up first. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't catch them like that. We're not nearly that exciting. But we did catch, we caught 20-something fish that day. We caught a lot of them. Do you know how I caught that fish, the one I'm holding? You know how I caught it? I lied to it. We were using a bait that looked something like that. And the sparkly things at the top catch the fish's attention. And when he looks over in the general direction, he sees that other thing that looks like a bug that he would like to eat. But he didn't notice, you guys can see that hook sticking in there? He didn't see that part. And so he saw something that he thought was good. I lied to him. I threw the lure out there and I convinced him that it was a bug. And when he bit down on it, the next thing I saw was that, something like that. You know how I caught that fish? I lied to him. And in our lives as Christians, we know that there's an evil world, that Satan's out there, and that he's going to lie to us, and he's going to show us things that look pretty, and they look flashy, and they look fun, and we think, yeah, that's what I want. But then when you bite into it, guess what's in the middle of it? It's a hook. Satan doesn't tell the truth. He's the liar. In fact, the Bible says he's the father of lies, and that everybody who lies takes after him. I caught those fish by lying to him. And Satan fishes in our lives. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so we've got to pay attention, and we've got to make sure that we live by the truth. Father, we thank you for this simple illustration that reminds us that we have an enemy, and that he would love to trick us, that he would love to show us something that looks pretty, looks fun, but in the middle of it, there's a hook. Lord, I pray that you would help us to govern our lives by your truth, and that we would not fall prey to the schemes and the lies of Satan. I pray for these kids, and I pray that you would use their teachers to show them the matchless wonder and beauty of Jesus Christ. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to get a start gun. And my mom catched a fish alive. She caught a fish alive? Did she lie to it? That's the easiest way. The easiest way. I'm going to leave that fish up there for a few seconds so we can all kind of pull that in. Are we in the sermon scheme as far as lighting goes? Are those new lights? Are they out of a tanning bed? Hey, there you are. I knew you guys were out there somewhere. The belt of truth. We've been talking about the gospel armor. And tonight we're going to deal with the belt of truth. And I want to ask you, just as we get into this, is the gospel armor gift or is it task? And 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that without grace, we can't do this. And last week, we talked about the fact that Satan would lie and try and pull out the truth, the Word of God, that caused doubt in our minds as it relates to the Bible. And I want us to, this is a hard sermon, I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to stumble a little bit. I've read, this is the third one. The other two, I just threw them away. It was a hard subject to deal with. It seems like it ought to be easy, but the more that I got into it and was studying it, the more I was, conviction is a good word. I was under conviction about this. And I hope as we work through this together tonight, I hope to put that off on you. And you can have some of that to deal with as well. As we talk about the gospel armor, is God giving us a gift or is he giving us a task? And if you think about us as people, when we view the Bible, many times we view the Bible as, okay, there's something else I've got to do. If I were to begin talking about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, and go on down the line, there are nine of them. And many people would go from the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament to the, okay, now I got nine commandments in the New. I got nine things to work on, and I need to work on love, and I need to work on joy, and I need to work on patience. My goodness, I don't have much patience. I really need to work on that. And if you study the idea of gift, or fruit, rather, fruit is a natural process. It just happens. If you have a healthy tree, you'll have healthy fruit. As we think about spiritual warfare and God giving us these elements to arm ourselves with, first of all, we know we have an enemy. His name is Satan. We've talked about that. There's Satan and there's his network. He's the architect. Then he has his network. And really in our world, our biggest problems, I think, are just brought up by the world around us, just the evil in the world that exists. So we think about truth tonight. I want you to begin thinking about, is truth a gift from God or is it a task? Is he telling us to tell the truth when he says to gird our waist with the belt of truth? Klein Snodgrass said this. That is, for example, do we belt on God's truth or the practice of truth? Both are true, but which did Paul have in mind? They have to do with the covenant. Each one points to a reality about God that determines human action. They emphasize a human response to God's saving work. As God saves us, and we talked about this in the grace sermon 2 weeks ago, God saves us by grace, and he preserves us by grace, and he empowers us by grace. He changes our lives by grace. And hopefully at the end of our lives, we get to say like Paul did, I have finished the race. I have fought the good fight. And now I'm ready to receive my reward. And how did he do that? The whole thing is covered in God's grace. And by God's grace, he changes our lives. And as he gives us these elements of spiritual warfare, the belt of truth, as we will deal with tonight, it's a response to God's saving work. And I ask that you stand with me as I read this text. John 18:37. This is the dialogue between Jesus and Pilate. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. Let's pray. Father, we recognize you as the Lord God of the universe. As we have read in your word, you have created all that is. And you've created all that there is in order that you might have the preeminence. Father, we must admit to you that we live in a world that's marked by falsehood. Lord, we pray tonight that your Spirit would break out and you would cause the falsehoods in our own lives to fall down at our feet. That you would save us from the lies that this world has poured onto us. And that you would help us to step out of that rubble. To know that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus. Father, empower us to put on Christ and to live our lives for your glory and honor. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What is truth? That's what Pilate asked. He asked Jesus. Jesus said, "The people of truth are with me." Living the Christian life sometimes is difficult. And we're going to talk some about the difficulty of the Christian life tonight. And we read about the love that God has for us and the necessities of husbands loving their wives and wives being submissive to their husbands and going to work, as we talked about last week, and the reality that spiritual warfare is just as real as those other elements of life. Warfare. I think we would like it better if it worked like this, and Kevin Miller wrote this. If it would read like this, I think we might could fall into it and enjoy it a little better. Lay back and relax then, with the belt of evasion buckled loosely around your waist, with the breastplate of defensiveness in place, and with your feet fitted with the pluralism that offends no one. In addition to all this, take up the shield of grudges with which you can hold on tightly to hurts and slights. Take the helmet of entitlement and the bludgeon of the flesh, which is your world, the world of anger. And air what's been done to you on all occasions with all kinds of criticisms and complaints. That sounds like church life. That other stuff, I don't know, we have to ponder it a little bit. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. The first thing I want to say about truth is sometimes truth is hard. Sometimes truth is hard. It's kind of like getting called into the office and the first thing they say is, "You know, I love you." They're fixing to speak some truth into your life. No matter how you stack truth, sometimes it's just hard. And sometimes we have to back up in our own busy lives and we have to ask ourselves some hard questions. Am I telling myself the truth or am I buying into the lie? I don't really dabble in politics from the pulpit very much, but here we go. I can almost tell you what news station a person listens to just by listening to a few phrases that they say. Because we buy into rhetoric. We buy into, oh, I'm in this camp, so therefore I must believe this. And there are times that we find ourselves falling into traps and believing something and going along with something, even though we've never even seen the evidence for it. It's just my camp believes that, so I guess I should believe that as well. And it's refreshing to me to talk to people who have not fallen into that trap, but who are still actually thinking with the brain that God has given them. We live in a world that does not embrace truth. We live in a world that embraces pluralism. In fact, in the world's view, truth is subjective and it's relative. What's true for me may not be true for you, and what's true for you may not be true for me. There are no absolutes. Thus, truth is what you experience it to be. And this openness gives people the option of making up their own mind how they want to respond to what they believe to be the truth. That's the world's view. And then we have the Word's view. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." There's a lot of the content of the other two sermons that I had drawn up for tonight were the Bible saying the truth, the truth, the truth, the truth, and the Old Testament pointing to the New Testament and Jesus fulfilling it and then it affecting people's lives. The Bible is true. If there's one thing that I can tell you that I would just stake everything in my life on, it's I believe the Bible is true. Now, for some people, it's not enough to hear a preacher just say the Bible's true. It's called a tautological argument. It's, well, how do you know the Bible's true? Well, the Bible says it's true. It's like me saying I'm the greatest disc golf player on the face of the earth. And you say, well, how do I know that? Well, I just told you. Take my word for it. But yet in the Bible, over and over and over, through archaeology, through historical records, through archaeological records, through prophetic records, through all of these different records, the Bible has always been shown to be accurate, to be true all the way along. And the Bible says to us that Jesus is the manifestation of truth. In 2 Timothy, there's this verse to preachers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. There are two primary kingdoms. There's the primary kingdom, there's light and there's dark. Those are the two primary kingdoms. We in the modern day church talk a whole lot more about Satan and demons than the New Testament or the original church did. Yes, there were times that Jesus cast out demons, but we talk about that more than the Old and New Testament do. The New Testament talks about the evil kingdom. And the New Testament says two things primarily about the evil kingdom. One is, it's been defeated. And the second one is, don't be deceived by it. Two primary things that the Bible says about the kingdom of darkness. One, it's been defeated. Two, don't be deceived by it. The church is powerful, but not militant. And this is something that I wish I could go back through church history and share with certain eras of the church. We are called to stand. The battle has been won. Evil has been defeated. Don't buy into the lie that we've got to defeat evil. Evil has been defeated. We stand on the truth, and God honors that and knocks enemies down in front of us. The church is incredibly powerful, but we are not militant. Christianity is comforting, but not comfortable. Christianity is comforting. It's comforting to us to know that Jesus has defeated death, hell, and sin, and that there is coming a day when he will take sin and separate it from us and cast it into the pit, and we won't have to worry about it ever again. It's comforting to know that. But being a Christian is not always comfortable. God calls us out. He calls us to stand, to speak, to answer, to do these things in love, but to do them. Leon Morris said, you can drift into sin, but not into righteousness. That's a pretty interesting thought. You can drift into sin, but not into righteousness. What is he saying? It takes intentionality. For us to ask ourselves the question tonight, do I live for the truth, requires intentionality. Each one of us has to do that. Each one of us has to look deep inside of ourselves and say, God, have I bought into the lie of the world? Do I believe that I'm second rate because of a mistake in my past? Do I believe that? That's a lie. Do I believe that this hardship that I'm going through is an evidence that you don't love me as much anymore? That's a lie. How many of us have bought into the lie of Satan, even the subtle lie of Satan, that we're not good enough? How many people have bought into the lie that we're plenty good enough, that I don't need grace to get through life, that my devotion will get me through life, that my commitment will get me through life? Validation comes through living in relation with Christ, acting in accord with his character, and speaking in ways that articulate the gospel clearly. We must take more seriously the representative aspect of our faith. Christianity is not only about getting to heaven. It is about living with and for Christ. We stand with and for him as we relate to other people. Once again, we find a theology that views life as wonderfully meaningful. This is the hard part, and this pushes in on all of us. It pushes in on me, and just share it with me, if you will. If we are going to say that we're Christians and we're living for the truth, then that truth has got to impact our lives to the degree that we not only smile at people in a Christian way, but we actually share with them how to become a Christian. We share with them the encouragement that comes from the Holy Spirit in our lives, and hopefully they will find encouraging as well. Christianity is not just about getting to heaven. It's about living with and for Christ. We stand with him and for him as we relate to other people. Salvation is not just being saved from hell in the future and being forgiven of my sin. Salvation is God setting me up right. Baptism is a beautiful picture. There's a coffin full of water, and we are dipped down in there, buried with him, and raised to walk in the newness of life. And it's a symbol that God comes into our lives, and then he changes us from the inside out, and then we begin to take that treasure. We're earthen vessels. We're just jars of clay made out of dirt. But inside of us, we have a treasure, and that treasure drives us to help other people know about this treasure. I want to go back and read the first part of that again. Validation comes through living in relation with Christ, acting in accord with his character, and speaking in ways that articulate the gospel clearly. We must take more seriously the representative aspect of our faith. Here in recent weeks, leadership of the church has recognized that we have not been missional enough, that We're a new church. We're a church plant. We don't have all of the faculties and the niceties and all the rooms and we don't even have our own building. We have to use somebody else's. And we'd love to meet on Sundays, but we can't because somebody else is in here on Sundays. And we have begun to realize that our lives must be missional. All of our lives must be missional. We must be people who are willing to say to Jesus, yes, I want to know the truth. I'm curious about a lot of things, and I study a lot, especially in certain topics, because I want to know more about them. I want to know the truth. But what good is knowing the truth if it remains stagnant in my own life? There's a beautiful picture in Israel. There's the River Jordan and the Sea of Galilee, which are teeming with wildlife and sea life and bushes and everything around it. And they feed down into the Dead Sea, which has no outlet, and nothing lives in it. And that's a beautiful picture. If we are receiving truth, and that truth is going through us to the people around us, we're more like the Sea of Galilee and the River Jordan. But if all we're doing is just capturing it for ourselves, then there's a deadness about us. Christianity is not only about getting to heaven. It's about living with and for Christ. We stand with him and for him as we relate to other people. Once again, we find a theology that views life as wonderfully meaningful. The people of our world are looking for meaning. They're looking for significance. They're looking to find their place. I want to make an impact. That's one of the big statements of the younger generation these days. I want to make an impact. You cannot make an impact until Jesus has made an impact on you. And if you do make an impact, apart from that, it's going to be a negative one. And you're going to be taking the world down the path they wanted to go down anyway. Truth must rest in us. Truth must reside in us. Truth must be actually more than a belt. Truth must be a covering. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the truth. And he is a gift from God, but he's also a gift of God that comes into our lives and changes us from the inside out. Christianity is the pursuit of resting in Christ while running the race. We are so easily distracted. Folks, I am so easily distracted. I can walk in the room and the TV's on. And like, the Great American Mind Suck. That's what a TV is, pretty much. I've got them in my house just like a lot of other people do. Or the computer, or my phone. People talk about, you know, not using their phone and things like that. Well, I'm going to go phone free or Facebook free for a month or whatever. You go out on a date and you got to leave the phone in your pocket. Then you start getting the jitters. It's like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Because, you know, in the bathroom, there's privacy. And you can pull that sucker out of your pocket and start, okay, I'm good. We are so easily distracted. Yes, we rest in Christ. We rest in Christ. The finished work of the cross is what pays our debt, sets us free. Mercy and grace flood us, and we are locked in his hands forever. But if we want significance in our lives, if we want our lives to matter, if we want to make an impact, then the truth of Jesus Christ must be more than mental assertion for me. It's got to be more than, yeah, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, and yeah, I believe he did that for my sins, and yeah, I believe that. It's more than that. It's a life-changing experience. And the life-changing experience that happens in me begins to affect the people around me. Is it a gift or a task? And I don't know what happened to my slide. There it is. Went crazy. Is it a gift or a task? And the answer is yes. If I can get this thing to cooperate with me. There, it may not stick around. Just look at it quick. Yes, it's a gift. Truth is God's gift to us. Jesus is God's gift to us. And Jesus, all the worlds have been created so that he might have the preeminence. And so if the truth is in us, then the truth is going to live through us, and the truth will impact the people around our lives. All right, there's the one we started with, and we've ended up with it. There's truth, putting the pieces together. If we are brutally honest with ourselves tonight, can we say that our lives are defined by the Bible? Can we say that? Or are we going to try and argue that I'm good enough to get to heaven when I die? I'm not as bad as a lot of other people. Are you going to buy into the lie that you're just not good enough, you're second rate? What lie is in your life? I mean, I've scripted out a bunch that I thought might apply. I think the best thing to do at this point is to say, what is God telling you? The takeaway tonight might be different for everybody in this room. And the number one takeaway I want you to take away with you tonight is, what is God telling you right now about this issue of truth and the lie? Satan's the father of liars. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They are two distinctly different paths. What can we say? Can I, in my own heart, say, I am a man of truth? I am, for you ladies, I am a woman of truth. Truth is of utmost importance to me. And I know that truth is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I want that truth to bubble off of me. I want people, when they speak of me, whether it's in revered tones or animosity, I want them to say, the aroma of Christ comes off of that person. Now, whether they think it's a beautiful, wonderful, sweet-smelling aroma, or whether they think it's the smell of death, that's between them and God. But the aroma of Christ should flow from us. The truth of Christ should flow from us. The number one takeaway tonight is I just want you in your own heart to be honest with God and say, God, what is it that I hear? God has said something to each one of you tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. He has spoken into the depth of your very being. I hope that he's ripping apart the lie that you've bought into, whatever it might be. And I hope that God is placing within you his truth. That you're his child. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are his child. And he loves you with a passion you can't even imagine. He is faithful. And because of Jesus Christ, yes, you are good enough. We gird ourselves up with the truth. But it's not just us telling the truth and not telling lies. It's us being surrounded by, filled with, covered by the beautiful person of Jesus Christ. And that truth marks us. Father, tonight, we are your people. As we think about the tremendous variety of lies that exist in this world, Father, can you give us the peace of mind that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that we will find everything we need in him? Father, I pray tonight that we would not receive this message as burdensome or a task, but God, you would free us from living in the lie, that you would draw us out of this trap. Father, for anyone here tonight who has been told that they're second rate because of mistakes in their past, Father, I pray that you would free them from that lie and that you would bless them with your beautiful, wonderful presence, your love, your mercy, your kindness. Father, for any of us who might have built an image that we have to live up to, God, save us from that before it kills us. Father, convince us that the banner of Jesus is enough. That as we hold up the banner of Jesus Christ, you are the only image that we have to hold up. Father, for the people in this room who are living dual lives, who conduct themselves one way in certain atmospheres and a totally different way in other atmospheres, Father, I pray that you would help them to find their identity in you, and that that would be enough no matter where they are. Father, for all of us, who see the different areas of life and we adapt ourselves to those areas to be included, to not be ostracized. Father, I pray that you would convince us that you have come to free us, and that as you have freed us, your desire for us is to live in liberty. To find that person that you've created each one of us to be. And to allow you to restore the original beauty of your masterpiece in each one of us. Father, I pray that you would work in our lives, that you would cast off the lies, that you would shine the parts that are so dull because of abuse and misuse. Father, cleanse our hearts tonight. Empower us to look fully upon your wonderful face. Help us to know, Lord God, that apart from Jesus, there is only a bag of lies in each one of our lives. Apart from Jesus, we are all collectively a lie. That it is in Christ that we find truth. And with truth, we find hope. With hope, we find mercy. Father, I pray that you and you alone would speak the takeaway into each heart tonight. Each one of us has something in our hearts that we know you're saying to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause us to hold on to it and to not forget it as soon as we walk out the door. But we would remember the takeaway, what you have said to each one of us as it relates to truth. Father, we bow before you. We recognize your greatness. We recognize your mark on our lives. We recognize that you are our creator, that you are the one who defines who we are. Father, I pray that by your power and your grace, you would speak your truth into each heart here. And you would cause us to remember what you've said. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.